This is Chastity Pod, an informational resource about our favorite kink, chastity.
We're your hosts. I'm Denai Dumpling.
And I'm Locked Fist Monster.
And we're chastity veterans. In this pod, we talk about all things chastity related.
So if you're cage curious and want to begin locking up,
or a key holder who fantasizes about caging that special someone,
tune into Chastity Pod. So let's get locked and stay locked. Welcome back to Chastity Pod. This is episode 8 of season 2. Denai Dumpling, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing the best. Had a nice long rest. We just finished Thanksgiving. How's yourself, Locked Fist Monster?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I got back from my Thanksgiving travels yesterday. It's Monday, November 27th when we're recording this. This episode will be coming out first weekend of December, December 3rd, first episode after our little mid-season 2 hiatus.
Well, I mean, holiday seasons are upon all of us, so I think we all understand. We usually do Friendsgiving with my little polycule and friends with Master at his place, and I'm always just so thankful to spend the holidays with chosen family.
Yeah, you were telling me what you guys have been up to, and it sounds like you had a wonderful time. I spent Thanksgiving with my bio family, so no kink or chastity play during Thanksgiving itself. But I managed to bookend Thanksgiving with some good fun play both the weekend before Thanksgiving and the weekend after Thanksgiving. So that was a lot of fun. So the weekend before Thanksgiving, I played with a guy I'd been talking to for a while off of Grindr and Twitter. He's this mid-20s Asian muscle twunk is how I describe him, you know. He was also really into chastity play and really into fisting. He got into chastity play relatively recently. So he came over Saturday night, like 7 or 8 p.m. And, you know, he showed me the cage that he had brought. And I was like, you know what? You've got a pretty thick dick like I do. So I put him in my Kink 3D. I put on my badass workroom cage. So we were locked together. And so this was a sort of new weird thing to do, but we cleaned out together. Like, we chatted while we were cleaning out. And then we spent all night playing and just fisting with each other, riding toys, making out, huffing poppers. Later in the night, I unlocked and I fucked him for a bit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and we went from, he arrived at like 7 p.m. He didn't leave until like 4 in the morning. After I had been fisted him, fucked his face, deposited my load in his ass, and sent him on his way.
God bless.
It was a fantastic, very, very hot scene. And I'm looking forward to playing with him again sometime.
Is he a local with you?
He's outside. He lives outside of the Chicago, like, Chicagoland is like this big sprawling thing. So he doesn't live in Chicago. He lives outside of Chicago. So like, see, him and his boyfriend will sometimes come to Chicago like for the weekends, but it's not something where he can be like, yeah, I can be there in 15 minutes. Yeah.
Well, it sounded like a lovely time, and I'm excited if you guys play again. I mean, 7 hours of play. That must have been hot chemistry.
It was some very good chemistry. And, you know, to be clear, you know, when there's like 7 hours of play, there's also a lot of, you know, just downtime and talking and resting
and cuddling, you
know, and cuddling. And I think we even had something to eat at like 3 a.m. because, you know, we had burned off quite a few calories in the previous hours.
Naturally.
Yeah. but yeah, no, it was great.
That sounds like a very eventful couple of weeks leading up to Thanksgiving. That actually reminds me of a really fun encounter that I had this past week. I shared with all my friends on Twitter that I had broken the rules and came without permission. Master had me locked up for 97 days, and we were planning to edge me and have my eventual release probably on day like 100 or 101. And so this would be, you know, after August, September, and Locktober, and then first week of November, we agreed that was the day of the release if Master wanted to. And on day 97, I had a wet dream. Came without permission. Of course, I shared it with my master that morning, the same day I had it.
Does that really count as coming? Like, it's unconscious, right?
Regardless, I have to take responsibility for what my body did.
Did it feel like coming to you? Like, where did you, like...
Oh, yeah.
Did you wake up, like, orgasming?
Yes. I had a sex dream I can't recall. And then I woke up, locked dicklet, squirting nonstop, load after load into my sleeping tights. And I was so horny for the 2 weeks prior. I was almost ravenous, messaging my master all the crazy things I was thinking about him doing to me and all the fantasies I had with random strangers that I'd see on the street. You know, I was really, you know, white knuckling down, trying to compose myself every day, which is the best experience. Everyone knows when you're just in that horny haze, life is great.
Yes. Were you still in the horny haze though, after you had this?
No, I lost a big chunk of it. Like, I had to admit.
Like, is it similar to, like, you know, when you've unlocked before and, like, jerked off? Was it like that similar drop? Was it only like sort of like a half drop? Like,
I think I had a mental component of guilt because I knew that I was not allowed to come prior to the date master and I played. That was the big thing. I felt guilt that I wasn't able to give him that, you know, great geyser moment of me blowing a load that was humongous.
So the drop in horniness
and saved.
The drop in horniness was a headspace thing, not a physical thing.
I was still very horny. It was, I would say, just like whatever spilled over the top of the boiling pot was basically what happened. But it was a full orgasm. It definitely was a full orgasm. Mm. I think I counted like 6 or 7 shots waking up to.
So just to be clear, though, you remain caged.
I remained caged.
And like you're still caged to now. Like you haven't been unlocked?
No. After I had my accident, Master decided that we were going to, there was no reason for me to be uncaged.
Yeah.
So currently it's November 27th. So I think that's another like 20 days. I'm 110, 120 days in.
Who keeps count anymore?
I don't keep count anymore. Anyways, so Master decided that naturally for breaking his rules, I needed to be punished. Except this time, more recently, he already gave me a punishment. And he decided that this time, two other submissives were going to choose the outcome of my punishment.
Ooh.
And so he chose a couple other people who I believe to be very sadistic, very creative subs. And so we played 2 weeks ago, 1 week before Thanksgiving, and invited them over. I was bound with my hands behind my back, blindfolded, and the subs proceeded to do a lot of CBT. I had Icy Hot on my balls. And there was also a lot of anal play where I was on all fours. And I don't know if this was really a punishment, but they just put on a strap on and tore up my pussy. It was delicious.
Yeah, that sounds more like a reward than a punishment at this point.
Yeah, so they were kind of generous to me in the wrong way.
Where's the punishment part coming in?
Right. Well, I personally don't like CBT at all, so that part was probably my real punishment. But them destroying my pussy was, I mean, I could pretend that it was a punishment, but it really wasn't. It was great.
Oh, that's lovely. What size strap-ons were they using? What are they using as toys?
So the Hanky Toys Rent Man, I think it's a medium. It's I think it's 9 inches insertable length, but it's quite girthy. And if you long dick someone with it, it can really feel overwhelming when it pops into your second hole.
Was that the one that you were wearing at Locktoberfest?
I sure was. That's okay. My favorite dildo. So thank you again to those two subs. You could have punished me so, so much harder. And I look forward to, if I ever get the chance of punishing you, showing you how it's supposed to be done.
Ooh, so now we just have to wait for them to
a fuck up, right?
Are they also locked by your master long term?
One of them is, and so when they have the misfortune of breaking a rule, I sure hope to show them how to really do it.
You're just doodling down like punishment ideas. You're
Oh,
just
as they were hurting me, I
making.
was like, oh, this is interesting. I want to do that plus this.
Ooh, I love the dynamic that you have. I love your little polycule, that little community that you've got, that really tight, narrow community that you have. Your, I don't
Yeah,
know, primary group, I guess,
well,
polycule.
I would say that I do have a kink polycule. Yes, I definitely do. And yeah, my circle's pretty great. Maintaining a social circle of play friends and having good relations with each other actually is a lot of work.
And I think that brings us to the theme of today's episode, which is it's our holiday episode, but it's also Denied Dumpling and I will be talking about the Chastity community, what it means to be part of the Chastity community, how that affects our play.
Yeah,
And
in a broader sense, we both have, and even I mean, even larger than just Chastity itself, we have a kink community. We have various circles that we frequent, both large and small, and it's been so important to our kink journeys, both of us, how we started off to where we got today. And I'm sure a lot of our younger listeners have a lot of questions about how to build a community where we currently make our social circles and how to meet new people, find new friends, and have some really hot play.
Yeah. And I think not just our younger listeners, but any of our listeners who are relatively new to the Chastity play or the Chastity community could find this discussion valuable.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of what makes Chastity exciting, a lot of what makes it fun, is the other people involved in the play. Like handing your keys over to a key holder and having them encourage you to be locked. And talk with you while you're locked, that interaction adds so much to the experience. Or, it doesn't have to be with a single key holder. It could be with multiple key holders. You could have multiple DOMs, or it could be just doing cage checks on Twitter or wherever, posting pictures of yourself locked and getting that validation from the community that says, like, oh, you're such a good boy for staying locked. It's so hot to see you locked. I bet your hole is so hungry right now. All of that really, really feeds into the play and makes it so much hotter than it is if you're just locking the cage on yourself alone in a bathroom and then not telling anyone about it.
On the topic of kink community and chastity community, what does community mean to you, Locked Fist?
That's actually a really good question, because it's a collection of things, right? It's the people who I like to play with. It's the people who make content, Chastity content that I like and I enjoy talking with them, either online or in person about it. It's the boys who I have been a key holder for or kept locked or domed in various ways. It's the DOMs who I've played with. It's you, of course. Sometimes we play together. Neither of us have ever been the key holder for each other, but we've had fun playing together. It's all of the people who I interact with where Chastity is an ingredient in that interaction. That's the Chastity community for me. So it's nebulous. It's not really tightly defined. But it's everyone who I share that ingredient with. And then, there's different levels of it. There's more broadly, the like gay Chastity retweets, the tens of thousands of people on that one. That's the broad Chastity community. More narrower, the people who I directly follow and who follow me on Twitter, the people who our lovely fan base who listens to the show, they're part of my Chastity community. And
Absolutely.
more nearly the people that I play with directly. So it's Like an ogre or an onion. There's layers to it.
I love Shrek.
That was a great
Great Shrek
Shrek
reference.
reference. What about you? What is the chastity community to
Oh,
you,
you said it so
denominator?
eloquently. Yes, it's everyone in my life where our common love for the kink of chastity and other kinks, of course, is the main ingredient that we share. It's the magic, it's chemical X, in fact. It's the magic ingredient. When I think of community, I think of two main circles. There's like the larger circle, like you said, about Twitter. What used to be Tumblr and even Telegram, I would say, is like a larger circle where you just talk to a bunch of people that are not, that you don't know by a first name basis. And then there's my smaller circle, the people that I see regularly, that I take loads for, that I serve, that I talk to and mentor as other subs. When I think of community, I definitely think about all the people who listen to this podcast because community is
It's communities where you have the shared experience. You have the yeah, it's a shared experience where there's a level of interaction between the different members of the community. So if you have a bunch of people watching something, like an audience watching a movie, but they're all streaming it from home and none of them are ever talking to each other about that. That doesn't feel like a community to me. But if you have a fan base where they're watching a TV show and they're talking to each other about it, where there's that interaction, that's where a community starts to emerge, right? But I do want to chase back to where you gave Telegram as an example of fitting into the larger community box. Telegram, there's groups of various sizes. So, on the there's some chastity groups I'm in on Telegram that have over 3,000 members, and that's definitely the broad
Oh,
community.
yeah.
But then I have then I'm in a couple groups that are just very small. Like I'm in one group that's like 31 guys, and that's what I consider to be like a narrower level of a tighter group. There's more interaction between us. But I think a reasonable question people have is how do, and I think I brought up earlier in this episode, is how do you find and build these communities? How do you like,
Yeah, that's an incredible question. Yeah.
how did you, for instance, you have this magical little polycule. How did that emerge? Where did you find your master? Where did your master find your other subs, or did you find some of the other subs? How did
Well,
that evolve?
I think the most natural form of a community being built, it starts with two people. A lot of us like to fit, in our ideal world, would love to join a community that already exists. And so, especially if you're out in a more rural area, or if you're just in a space where you haven't found people who share your love for chastity, to be quite honest, I was very fortunate to, on Recon, have chatted with my then sir, now master, Sir CJ, and we began our relationship there. The truth is, even though he had ownership of me, both of us played with other people. And naturally, through talking with other people, we let people in into our group. Some came, some played, some left. But the core group of Master and I stayed. We eventually made some really great kink friends along the way. We picked up many people who were subs, some people who were curious, and some people who were doms that wanted to just visit, came, played with the subs and left. And that is the most basic way, I would say, of making community. You start with two people, you meet other people, and you invite them to things and they mesh with you. Some don't, and you begin to build your group.
Where were you meeting these people? So you met your master on Recon, your eventual master on Recon. But did you meet everyone else on Recon? Did you meet them on Twitter or Tumblr? Were some of them in
Ah, of
person?
course. Most of the people that I met personally at the start of my kink journey was all Twitter, Recon, and Grindr. Grindr was the least likely because people were very low interest on there. They invested very little, and so it'd be a lot of one-offs. But some of my good friends were, most of my best friends were found through Tumblr before the exodus to Twitter. Most of my friends I made were people who reached out to me, were interested, and were in New York. Yeah.
For me, the Dom who I initially started playing with Chastity with years ago, late 2010, him I met on or early 2008, yeah, late 2010. He I met on Recon. You obviously I met on Tumblr. Since then, I've met people online through Tumblr, Twitter, Recon, Grindr. In person, I've met them just at play parties or at bathhouses, or at any of the events that happen, like Dory Alley or Folsom. I've made friends and met people at on occasions like that as well. And that's sort of how my community has formed. And then, of course, we've had a lot of people reach out to us now that we started making this podcast. How long have we been doing this? We started this like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I would say we broke a year recently.
No, we started recording. Hold on, we started recording 2 years ago. We started recording in like December 2021.
But we didn't, when did we release?
We didn't release for like another 6 months
But
afterwards.
anyways.
Anyways, yeah. Yeah. God, holy shit, 2 years, really?
I know. And we didn't even have a birthday for the first year.
I think to form the broader Chastity community and keep the broader Chastity community going and have it grow and be a useful place to be, a useful community to be part of, you need people contributing to it. You need people making artwork for it. There's plenty of guys who are making great Chastity illustrations or writing great Chastity stories that add sort of to the cultural milieu that we all sort of pull from. You need people interacting with each other. You need people fucking and posting that online. You need
Yeah,
the
there's a lot of validation that comes in seeing, amazing artwork, really, really exciting creative ways to explore kink and incorporate into other kinks, right? Like that's how you really grow a interest, and make it special for a big group of people. And of course, naturally, another really hot part in the Chastity community is mentorship. Finding other members that learn about the kink who really want to learn from someone more experienced. And whether you yourself are someone who is being guided or someone who is mentoring, that forms a very special bond with whoever you're playing with. And that becomes part of
Absolutely.
your community too. A lot of the boys
Yeah.
that come to my master, of course, see the pre-existing relationship that he and I have, and they want that. They want that exact same thing, right? And they offer themselves to be trained. And very often, master will say, "Okay, well, talk to my slave. This is the person you need to go to really work out a lot of the logistics of how to be a sub, how to be locked for a long period of time. Do you have the aptitude for having someone else be your key holder and such, right?" That stuff builds community, that stuff builds friendship. And I found that to be something super rewarding. So that's another way to really build community.
And that's a very large re part of why we made this podcast in the first place,
Oh yeah.
is to provide that informational resource that we were giving one by one. That these discussions that you and I have, in person between us, where we sort of suss out what makes Chastity work for us, to be able to share that with the community as a whole. And we've had a lot of great feedback from people. We've had a lot of people DM us on Twitter, message us, and every time they do it, every time someone reaches out to us to say, "I love the pod, thank you so much for doing this. Can you make an episode on this, or could you talk about this?" That makes one, I think that helps us. It helps us figure out where we're going with these episodes. And part of it's also too, hearing this feedback from everyone is part of what is really what keeps what keeps this podcast going.
We're building connections. Yeah, we're building human connections with our listeners. Yeah.
If we had made those first six episodes of season one and released them, and then no one had said anything to us after that, we wouldn't have done season 10. We would have just stopped.
You said something really important earlier, and that's community takes people putting into it. And so something that I've learned a lot about my polycule and the people that stay are the people that consistently invite everyone else to events that they hear about. They, you know, if there is something that's happening and they want to enjoy it with the rest of us, we are part of his community. A lot of the most interesting people that I've met that are in my circles are actually the most unlikely people. Like, if you keep your mind open to who you talk to, you can meet a lot of really interesting people.
If you're someone listening to this and you're wanting to be part of the Chastity community and you're wishing you were part of the Chastity community, first off, just by listening to this, just by being involved in this, you are part. If you are hearing my words right now, you are part of the Chastity community. Congratulations, welcome. I didn't bring cake. But if you want to build your community, you not only have to go to where this community exists, either online or in person, you have to contribute to it. You have to seek out guys that you find hot. You have to put yourself out there a bit. And I think for a lot of people, there's a bit of fear in doing that. You know, there's a bit of discomfort. And I can imagine someone listening to this and saying, oh, well, like, of course, Denied Dumpling and Locked Fist and Monster have a Chastity community. They're hot. One's this really cute Asian twink and the other is this, you know, big muscled white guy. Of course it's easy for them. And I think this is almost a digression, but I think this is important, so I'm going to try and say it properly. I think the key thing to keep in mind is that it doesn't matter who you are or physically what you look like, but you are a type. You know, we, the gay community, have come up with multiple terms to describe everyone. Twink, otter, bear, cub, wolf, jock, you know, muscle jock, himbo, mm-hmm. whatever. You know. Well, no matter.
Get a couple more from Grindr. You're almost there. You almost hit them all.
I've not even, like the Hanky Code, yeah. I've not even scraped the surface. But have you seen the Hanky Code these days? It's like 50 items long. No one can remember that. Right. Point is, doesn't matter what you look like, you are a type. And there mm-hmm. is a lot of people who find that type, whatever type it happens to be, extremely fucking hot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So no matter who you are, lean into it. Embrace it. Be confident in yourself that you, as you are right now, are just a sexy fucking person.
Correct.
If you want to be an active member of the Chastity community, if you want to form your own communities, go out and form the community that you want to see. Post your selfies on Twitter, message guys you find hot on Grindr, go to play parties if they sound hot to you. Just fucking do it. This is a slight side note. One of the hottest guys I've seen on Twitter. Like, I watch his videos all the time. I find him incredibly fucking attractive. And the reason I'm not going to say his name right now is because he and I were talking and he said that he didn't come to Locktoberfest because he was feeling self-conscious. And, like, he didn't think he'd be hot enough to do it. And my mind was fucking blown, because He's just so incredibly sexy. I find him personally incredibly sexy. So I think this morphia is this thing that very much exists in
It's
our.
awful. It's awful.
It's awful. Everybody looks in the mirror and everybody sees, can point out all of their own flaws. You have to realize that you're really fucking hot as you are. Embrace it. Build the community you want to build.
It's so crazy that we can look at other people who have so many different attributes than us and go, that is sexy, and give that person so much grace. And that same person could look at themselves in the mirror and point out 15 things they don't like about themselves, right? And yet, if they could be sexy to you, why don't you give yourself that same grace? On that note that you said earlier about everybody fitting into a broader type and that everybody has someone who will find them sexy, I think it's incredibly important that we have representation in our community for the various types of people and how they look. And when we look at a lot of the media that's in mainstream Twitter, because Twitter is just, porn on porn on porn, we see a lot of these incredibly edited images. We see a lot of these glistening bodies and we see these ripped abs and huge muscle. And it's like, the fact of the matter is, people are into a lot of things, a wide spectrum of things. I love my big men as much as I love my little men. In fact, I like my big men more. And I'm not talking about muscle. I'm talking about bellies. I'm talking about fat. I'm talking about, some meat on some bones. And
Yeah,
that's.
everybody, like, let's take your sir, for example. Your sir is 100% your type. You find him incredibly fucking hot.
Oh my God. Yeah, I do.
He is not my type. I would probably not hit up your sir.
Drag him.
No, but like, Sir CJ, you're probably listening to this. I love you. You're a wonderful human being. I would probably not hit you up on Grindr because, like, you're just not my type.
Yeah.
Right? But you are denied dumplings type 110%, never change. Because denied dumpling loves you exactly as you fucking are. Yeah, and like similarly, there's plenty of guys out there who like I find very hot, and it turns out that I'm not their type at all. And that's fucking fine. And there's plenty of guys who I find hot who also find me very hot. And then the magic happens. Then we're played to be like, oh my God, you're so hot. And it's great.
If you find one type to be hot, and the inverse must be true. Someone in the universe definitely finds you equally exciting, attractive, as well. Just to tie it all together, another point that I think is really important for building community is, and I said it, I think I touched on it earlier, is just keeping an open mind. But it is to be inclusive, and that means that, to invite people, even if you may not think that they are your type. I think it's really rewarding to just have a very diverse group of friends where everyone brings whatever they want to the table, and everyone doesn't subscribe or put themselves into one kind of look.
Yeah, absolutely. You can fuck your friends. You don't have to fuck your friends. You don't have to fuck all of your friends. First off, you probably shouldn't
Whoops.
fuck. All right,
Whoops.
except for you, Denied Dumpling. You're a free
I'm
useful.
joking. I don't fuck all of my friends.
Right. You don't have to find all of your friends physically, sexually attractive. Plenty of your friends you will find intellectually attractive and interesting, and they will be no, they're gonna get the you we form friendships with people because there's something in them that we find attractive and interesting and want to experience more. And that could be something physical, it could be something mental, it could just be their vibe,
Emotional, right.
emotional, whatever it is, right? Yeah. So build your community. Go out there, find your community. Listening to this podcast, you're already part of that community. Build your community. go out there and interact with people and be confident while you're doing it. Be confident, put yourself out there and be confident that even if you get turned down or rejected a few times, that there's going to be plenty of people who will embrace you as you are. And related to that, I think I'd like to talk about a couple of the, just a couple of the fan messages we've received over the past, year and a half of doing this.
Yeah, they're so sweet.
They are so sweet. We've asked, we're going to read a couple out. We've asked permission from the people who sent these that we're going to read out. The Night Dumpling, can you read the one that you really liked, that you asked permission?
Yeah, definitely. Blue Fire, who is at fire_leather on Twitter, sent me a really sweet message saying, "I really enjoyed your first season of Chastity Podcast. I somehow missed that you had restarted on a second season. Congrats." I had personally taken a break from Chastity for a few months. I was working in the garden yesterday and listened to the first two episodes of the new season and really enjoyed the content. I could hear my cage calling to me in the back of my mind, and I had to return to it. I woke up this morning secured in my cage, feeling so good. I had forgotten about the magic and the power of the cage. I look forward to another segment today.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, I love getting messages like this.
And let me we've gotten so many like this. Let me read one that it meant a lot for me to get this. This is from Maxon Caged at Maxon Maxon Cage Caged. Whose little Twitter bio is president of the itty bitty committee at Horse Market SF Bested Show Mayor. Longest lockup 236 days.
Ooh.
30,000 followers. Damn. I mean, he posts some really hot stuff. Anyways, so he said, "Hello, Locked Fist Monster. First, I am such a huge fan of your work in Chastity Pod. If you start a GoFundMe for the next season, like you said you might, I would definitely contribute. Second, I'm going to get a PA piercing this weekend, and I'm really interested in the badass workroom cages with the integrated PA. And you mentioned on the podcast that you got one with a holotape to pee through. Did it make a big difference in making peeing standing up less messy? I'm wondering if I should go for a 3G piercing so I could eventually order a holotube integrated PA cage as well. And parenthetical, if you have any pics of slash vids of you wearing it for peeing, I would really love to see it. And lastly, thanks for being such an inspiration for my chastity and fist fucking journey. I've been sleeping on my kinks for years, and it was Chastity Pod that finally gave me the push over the ledge that I needed to really start to explore chastity as a kink, which in turn made me hungry enough to eventually take a fist."
Oh.
And that was such an incredibly sweet message. And getting we've gotten many, many messages like that, but that one really hit, right in here, right in.
Oh, I love to see it. People getting back to their cages.
And as to his questions regarding Prince Albert piercings and for piss, Prince Albert piercings for integrated cages, I did write out an extremely long answer to him about that. Yeah, if you message us, we will we'll I think we've answered everyone who's messaged us. We will try to answer everyone who messages us. And I did give him a nice long response on that. The very short version is that yes, Badass Workroom does have integrated Prince Albert piercings stems that you can piss through that are hollow, and that does make it a lot less messy when pissing. My previous cage was a 2 gauge. I did find, frustratingly enough to me, that I had some piss coming out through the PA hole. So to try and fix that, I have been actually gauging up my Prince Albert, and I've ordered a new cage from Badass Workroom, which should arrive in January, which will have a thicker 00 gauge, which is 10 millimeter thick Prince Albert. Yeah, and so I've been while I'm waiting for that, I've been slowly gauging up my Prince Albert. I'm currently sitting at 9 millimeters, so there's just this big fucking hunk of metal.
Ooh.
You can make me love you if you have.
So yes, getting that message from Max von Cage and getting messages like that from so many other people, really is what makes me feel so good about this being an important and valuable contribution to the Chastity community. This podcast being such a great contribution to the
So
Chastity
much, so
community.
much.
So, Denied Dumpling, we're approaching the end of the episode now. To wrap up, what do you think are the key points that someone should take away from here regarding community?
Yeah, we talked about a lot today, but I think that the main three things I would love our listeners to pick up from me is that, community starts small. You can start with just two people, and then you can add people as they come naturally, whoever vibes with your small group. And over time, it'll grow large. My polycule didn't happen overnight. This is over 6 years of being in 6+ years of being in kink. Second thing is just being inclusive and talking to everyone, regardless of how they present themselves. Because at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We all want to be part of something greater that we love and we share. And the third thing is to put in. Like Locked Fist said, you have to contribute to be part of the community. And you don't have to, show your body and show your cage to, contribute to a community. People have amazing posts, they do art, they write. There's so many ways to be involved. So just show out, be brave. And those are my three. Yeah. How about you, Locked Fist? What would be big takeaways for you?
Okay, so there's going to be a little bit of overlap between what you've said and what I've said, what I'm about to say. But yeah, my three main takeaways here are: one, go out and find the community. Look online, look through Grindr, look through Twitter, Telegram, porn, however you look at what events are happening locally. Find out, what events are happening at your local bathhouse, all of that sort of thing. So one, go out and find it. Two, you have to contribute. Put yourself out there, right? You have to message people, meet up with people, or post pictures, or just comment on stuff. However you contribute, you have to contribute. And three, be confident. Know that you are sexy. Know that you are part of this community. And you are, just by you being you, you are an integral part of this community. Be confident when you're going out there and you're contributing and when you're searching for it. So
Yeah.
search, contribute, confident. Those are my three takeaways.
Like our good friend Peter Klaus said very recently in our last episode, bravery. He just wants to see more bravery.
And on the topic of inclusivity, I think that that's sort of been a running theme of this entire season, is where we've just really been exploring the diversity of the Chastity community, talking with all sorts of different people in the Chastity community and how Chastity interacts with them.
Yeah.
I think it's time for the final part of this episode, whereas we have a somewhat exciting announcement. We're launching a Kickstarter.
Finally.
Finally. Yeah, so I feel like before you ask people for money, you should give a good reason why you're asking people for money.
Well, I mean, I could list them real easy.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. We'll just say it, which is, we've now made two, what I like to think of as very good seasons of Chastity Pod. We have at this point some 35,000 plays over our 13 episodes. And by the way, thank you everyone who's listened and everyone who's messaged
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
that's encouraged us to keep going. You guys are awesome. So far, we've done literally zero to monetize this. We haven't had ads. We haven't had sponsors. We've done a lot of free advertising for companies as we've said how much we love their toys or their cages. But we haven't monetized this in any way. And the biggest impediment to us producing more episodes is that sound editing is just this really time-consuming, painful. Deny Dumpling is going to be editing this episode later on. And you guys will hear this nice, clean, crisp, 50-minute, hour-long episode, however long it's going to end up. But Deny Dumpling and I have been sitting here talking and working on this for the past couple hours. And he's gonna have to spend, you know, a half a dozen hours or so cutting this into something that's listenable and useful.
I mean, we love doing these podcasts, and this is something Lockfist and I love. We love doing it.
We love doing it, but the editing is the big constraint for us. So our plan is to have this Kickstarter so we can have enough money to hire a professional sound editor. Someone who makes sure that our audio quality comes out crisp and clean, who does the editing for us. And that way we can bring you more of what you love, which is the show. The Kickstarter launches December 1st. This episode that we're recording right now actually gets posted December 3rd. So the Kickstarter is live now. Go contribute now. It's going to run for 2 months. It's going to run until the end of January. So to incentivize you guys to contribute, Deny Dumpling, what reward perks have we decided to set for our contributors?
So we don't have a very large goal, but we're hoping you all contribute too. The nicest thank you gift that we could think of currently is that for the first 100 listeners that donate $25 or more to our Kickstarter, we're going to be sending out a holiday thank you card. So we're thinking sappy Christmas sweaters, something definitely chastity focused, and it's going to be a sweet little thank you sent to your personal address, only to the first 100 people who donate, again, $25 or more. And then, of course, keeping with the chastity traditions, we are going to be locked, both Locked Fist and myself, 1 hour per dollar that is donated. If we hit our goal of $3,000, that's 125 days of chastity that Locked Fist and I will be in. There's also no cap on our donation pool. So if we go over $3,000, that's more hours that will be locked. For example, if you help us reach $4,000, we will both be locked for approximately 167 days and so on and so forth. And we're committed. So, you know, it's the holiday season. If you're feeling generous or cruel, please donate. We'd love to have a new sound editor. We'd love to get some new equipment. And we would love to thank you for supporting the pod and listening in.
I've never actually done one of these lockup challenges before. So I'm excited to give it a try. The longest I've ever been locked is 143 days.
Oh.
125 days? Doable. Definitely doable. If we hit our goal, we'll be locked for 125 days. That I can definitely do. But if you go above and beyond that goal, we might end up in new territory for me. We might end up in my longest lockup ever.
Oh, this is going to be so sweet. I know for a fact that you're going to have a turnaround somewhere in that time when you're going to want to top, and I'm going to have to keep you accountable.
I've talked with her. I'm recruiting my old key holder from my last long-term lockup. To
your longest?
Yeah, I've reached out to her and she said yes. She's promised that she will keep me locked, and she is,
oh fuck yeah,
she is cruel and merciless and married to a woman, so she will definitely keep me locked.
Oh, she'll get the job done.
She'll get the job done. Yeah, we don't trust the keys with either my husband or me, because either of us have too much incentive to take it off.
Oh. And we'll go into the fine print later about the lockup. But really, thank you, everyone who listens into our podcast. For this Thanksgiving, I definitely am super thankful for this pod, for Locked Fist, for making this with me, and all of our listeners who have picked up the cage or has locked up a special someone.
Hey, thank you so much to everyone. Happy holidays. The link to the Kickstarter is pinned at the top of our Twitters. We'll also have the link to it in the show notes for this episode. So please be kind or be cruel, be generous, keep us locked.
Yeah. We got one more episode following this.
We have two more episodes following this. We have one more guest episode that will be released next week. And then one final episode for the season. It's going to be a Q&A episode. So if you have any questions, please message them to us or comment them. We'll be asking for them on Twitter, and we'll be happy to answer them.
All right.
All right. Good job, everyone.
All right. Happy holidays.
This is Chasty Pod, a passion project brought to you by two Chasty enthusiasts. I'm Locked Fist Monster.
And I'm Denai Dumpling. And you're listening to The Sweet Sound of Chastity by Boys Noize and Pussy Riot featuring Alice Glass.
If you like our content and want to stay connected, follow us at Chastity Pod on Twitter.
That's at CHASTITYPOD on Twitter. We'll see you there.